Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And Father, thank you that you are ever present, just in such a real manifested way as we've prayed this morning, that there is going to be just an atmosphere of your Spirit within us and around us, so that we can believe that all things are possible, that your Spirit will impart grace to each and every one of us. And thank you. We have the best Father of all. You, Lord, you're our Heavenly Father. Bless your people as we hear your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let it be. Wonderful. What a great scripture, great word and prayer to start with this morning as we engage our hearts with him. And we are, this is really a part two from last week's message from the book of Esther. So if you could just find the book of Esther, it's in the Old Testament, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, so it's around there, and or look in your the index and you can get the page there, or online, or however you're using your phone. And I just see so much that the book of Esther is speaking into this time. It's amazing, isn't it, from generations before, how somebody's life, together with Mordecai, how God was working in that time, and how it was a desperate time. And we so need the encouragement that the book of Esther gives us. It's the word of God, but we need encouragement because we're in a time of immense need, a time of immense need. And I really feel the challenge has upped the ante, really. That there's been an increase of challenge. I know that many of you are facing the challenge of homeschooling. Some of us are facing family who are not very well. All kinds of things are going on. But our God's hand, providence, he is working as he did in the days of Esther and Mordecai and the praying people. People were fasting and praying, called to fast and pray for the deliverance, for God's divine intervention in that time. And it settles us, you know, to know, as Mordecai spoke to Esther, it settles us to know. Who knows whether you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's in the book of Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. Esther had to be rallied to understand that she was loved, valued, chosen, that God had prepared her, every detail of her life, to be in position and relationship with the king for such a time as this. And that's such an amazing word to receive personally and to see receive corporately. Because taking that on board personally and as a church, it will mean that we know God has a purpose for us. That we're not in days that are meaningless. We're not living days just to get through something. That our God has a purpose in this day. We were born. You're alive. You've got breath today for such a time as this. And Esther was positioned, we were hearing about it last week, for a great personal and corporate victory. And I want to tell you, God has put you in a place with him for a great personal and corporate victory. And that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And you know, the wisest thing that Esther called all the Jews of that time who were under like this death sentence, the law had been issued. Haman had an evil plot, and Haman is symbolic of the enemy. He's the villain of the story. And there's nothing funny about him. He hates what God loves, and that means he hates you. He hates the Jews. He hates the church. And he hates people because God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. But the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we've got to be so clear in this day. Have our thinking clear, our believing clear, that God wants to do everybody good and Satan wants to destroy everybody. And so we've got a God-given mandate in this time to rise up in the name of Jesus and to take our position, our royal place, chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own specials, his special people, called for such a time as this. Because quite honestly, if we don't, the enemy will run riot. And we are not going to let him. We are going to connect with our loving Heavenly Father and use whatever he has given us, wherever he has placed us. You're in the right place at the right time, in the right status for such a time as this. And the book of Esther, we're going to see how. Out of prayer, this was the wisdom prayer, the prayer call, the call to fast and prayer. Pray. And honestly, if we don't, we're not going to see divine intervention, because Jesus taught us that prayer, God has his will for people's lives, for you as a family, for a nation. But we need to pray as it is in heaven, because God has chosen to use prayer to change things on earth. And so as Jesus lived a life of prayer, so we as God's people are called to pray and fast. And we've talked about that personally and together as a people, to use this time to really see God's favor and intervention in our world. And so we're going to look at the story from Esther chapter 5 this morning and just go through the story, and we're going to pick out some things that are very relevant for us. But we see that just as Satan has desired to steal and destroy lives, God has already positioned us to change the plot of Haman and turn it around for good. What the enemy intended for evil, and I'm speaking to somebody this morning right at the beginning of the message here, what the enemy intended for evil, the Lord will turn it for good. I believe it with all of my heart that God is saying that as we connect with his plan and see his will and unseen hand working through this time, bringing victory. And in Esther 5, after prayer, and I think this is really important, having prayed, it says in verse 1, "Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house. While the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her," wonderful words here, "what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you up to half of my kingdom." Up to half of the kingdom. So this was a king who wanted to share the kingdom with his queen. Because he loved her. Because he'd chosen her. Because he'd accepted her and made her who she was, actually, in this royal position. Now, the first thing I want to pick out that's relevant for us today as Christians is that Esther put on her royal robes. And you know, we are in Christ. God has chosen us in him to be holy and blameless in his sight, predestined us before the foundation of the world in love to be his sons, to be his own children. Now, Paul always said, you need to put off the deeds of the flesh. the continual sin and compromise that goes on, that can go on in our lives. But put on Christ. And like Esther, she knew she had to be dressed right to enter the throne room, because the king would not receive her dressed in her own dresses. It had to be the royalty. And I know that you know that we can only come before the King of Heaven because we are clothed in Jesus Christ. That God sees us in royal robes. In other words, he sees us holy and righteous in Christ Jesus. So throw off all the deeds of the flesh and put on your righteous robes. Put on Christ, who is your righteousness. He is our wisdom. He makes us beautiful in the presence of God. We're loved and accepted in Christ. And so she came in before the king. Now, naturally speaking, this is not with the Lord, because he has shown us grace already. But she knew that anyone who came before that king, that they could be condemned to death if they appeared without invitation. And beloved, we have been invited to come boldly because of Jesus. He made the way for us. He gave us his blood, his forgiveness, and he brought us in Christ, seated in heavenly places in him. But she knew that there was a threat of her life. And as she stood, she presented, I can see her now in her royal finery. She came and stood right in front of the king to grab his attention. I just love that. I want to grab God's attention. And that's an invitation to come, to draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. We can come boldly because we're dressed in Christ before the throne of God. We have no condemnation in Christ. And what I love about this is that when she came and stood there, the king saw. I love this. When you pray and you come to the Lord, come to your Father in heaven, the one who sits, the eternal one on the throne, the King of Kings, the greatest of all, he accepts you. He loves you. And he receives you. He sees that you come. This isn't just me coming without God knowing I'm there. He sees I come to him in prayer. And he responds to that. And as he sees the queen, she finds favor in his sight. I love that. Favor is grace. That's another word. Divine grace and favor. You know, that means we receive everything we don't work for. We can come before the throne not based on our performance. You see, most of the world is set up as a performance-based thing. That if you do this, and this as an achiever, you will be this, and this. They will accept you. They will take you in. But our God, because of Jesus, has extended such grace that he says, I take you in completely. I show you favor. And she found favor in his sight, and he stretched out this golden scepter. Now that scepter is a symbol of authority, that he is reigning, that he is king. He's speaking of his royal authority to reign over the whole kingdom. And he says to this queen, who is there on behalf of herself and the nation, the people, he says to her, extends the scepter and says, ask, I'm going to give you up to half the kingdom. Now, I love this scepter because it's a scepter of grace. It means grace is reigning in Jesus Christ, not a season of judgment. You know, none of us can earn the grace of God. Jesus freely gives us his grace. So Queen Esther, like us, have been chosen. We come to our Heavenly Father. He extends grace to us. And he has authority and power in him to change absolutely everything, personally and corporately and nationally. There is nothing our God cannot do. His reign extends over all the kingdoms of the earth. And who knows whether you're in relationship with the King for such a time as this. Now, when he extended that scepter, she responded. And you know that's a relationship you have with God. He freely gives his grace, but as God's people, as a personal relationship with him, we touch that scepter. In other words, we receive it. So he freely gives, but we have a part to play in receiving. And she stretched out her hand and touched that scepter of grace. In other words, I'm accepting you. What is it? Because I can do anything, the Lord's saying. What is it you want me to do? I love that imagery of Esther because we're the bride of Christ. The church, one of the names of the church of Jesus Christ is we are his bride, his beloved. Completely accepted in Christ to go to him with our requests. And we will find grace and favor and he will release his power in every situation we pray for. One of my scriptures I'm living with at the moment, which is actually the picture of this amazing grace that is ours in Christ, is in John's Gospel. And it's John chapter 1, verse 16, because he's unfolding the Word who is God himself incarnate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But then he's speaking about how the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in verse 16, I'm going to speak out the Amplified Version. The scripture says this, of his fullness, in other words, of his omnipotence, all-powerful, his amazing character, all that God is, all that is in God, of his fullness, Jesus, we have all received, that word received again, grace upon grace, gift upon gift, and blessing upon blessing. In other words, there's a moving of divine life in our lives. That there's an ongoing receiving, a bit like a river that flows, that it's clear and pure. That you can take a cup of water out of it and drink, but the very second or moment you take that water out, there's another supply come in. There's an ongoing, continuous flow of the grace and the gifts and the blessing of God. It's like, you know, if you were having an extravagant birthday where somebody bought you loads of presents. Pastor Andrea had a birthday this week. And you start to stack up the gifts. And it's like that with the Lord. Stack upon stack. You can stack up everything. You can receive one thing after another after another. Or it's like you go for a walk and you're on a certain vantage point and you can see a beautiful view. But you know, with the Lord, you can go around the next corner and see another beautiful view. It's like it just keeps coming. The Lord keeps giving. He keeps getting better. He keeps lavishing his goodness upon us. And that's what this means. Out of Jesus' fullness, Christ in us, we receive blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift, grace upon grace, stacking up the goodness of God in our lives. And it's, you know, it's grace for what you're in. If you're teaching your kids at home, there's grace for you. If you are in trouble in business, I want to tell you there's a gift of God's grace for you. If you're in a day of trouble, there's a time of grace for you to see God's ability in that. If you're sick, there's a grace in God. He freely gives to empower you to receive every good gift that He died for. If you're in days of prosperity, there's a grace for that. If you need to love someone who you're finding tough to love, there's a grace for that. There's grace. You see, we don't live as Christians by human effort. We are living by the goodness and the ongoing grace of God. Christ in us, the hope of His character, of His glory, of His omnipotent power to see a victory in our time and generation. Oh, beloved, whatever is going on, there's grace. And it comes from a person. It's not a thing. It's not a power. His name is Jesus. He is the fullness of the grace and the blessing of God. All things are in Him. Now, this king said to Esther, lovely thing to say to somebody, up to half my kingdom, you ask, because you found favor in my sight, I fully accept you. I want to bless you. What do you want? I want to bless you. What do you want? And he didn't have, you know, he didn't know what she wanted, but he said, I'm happy to share. Half is sharing. But you know, can you believe this? We are joint heirs with God in Christ Jesus. We inherit it all with Him. Isn't that mega? But anyway, that, if that didn't blow your socks off, I don't know what will. But it's like this king gave Esther a blank check. And he wrote, half, whatever my kingdom is. Now, this was a massive kingdom, the Persian Empire, today's Iran. He reigned over a vast amount of territory. Our king reigns over it all. Wow. With Him is the power over every nation, every government, every principality and power. He has won the victory for all the earth to receive the kingdom of heaven, the blessing of God. And it makes me think how God has said in His word that He will supply all our needs according to His riches. How rich is He? Very. My God, I'm saying it to you this morning, my God shall supply, not might. It's not a possibility. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches. Esther didn't ask based on what she had. She asked based on what the king had. Wow. We ask not based on what we have. We ask based on what He says we can have. Now, Jesus did set a limit on prayer. And, you know, when do you remember the time He was having the last meal, the last supper with His disciples? After the traitor, Judas, had left, it's interesting at which point He gave this amazing word, promise. And it's in the book of John. If you want to read it, you can turn there. Amazing promise. I think sometimes because we know it, we kind of forget how significantly incredible this word is. In John 14, verse 14, Jesus Himself said to His own disciples, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. If you ask anything, anything, now that's a blank check. The only condition, the only limit that God sets on this ask or this prayer, just as that king had set half the kingdom, our king sets the only limit is in My name. That's God's limit to answered prayer. And you know, whenever I wonder if it's God's will or not, One scripture always helps me to pray. And I don't know whether it's the same for you. You might have your own scriptures that help you to pray. There's every promise that we should be praying anyway that, you know, helps us to know what God's will is because it's in the Word. But there's one that kind of describes Jesus for me, what he wants to do in every person's life. And it's from Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about. So when we pray, he will go about. He will start working. He went about. So when I pray, he's going to go about. What's he going to go about doing? Doing good. So I can pray that for any situation. For you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, for you who are not even saved, I can pray, do them good. He went about doing good, healing all, because sickness is not from God. Sickness is not from God. Therefore, God wants to heal people. He went about. Jesus is the perfect expression of God. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, he's God. And everything he does and everything that he says is God. And so I know that when I pray, I can have confidence that I'm representing him. In my name means representing who I am, my heart of love and compassion and will to do people good and heal all. And then it goes on to say in that same verse, who are oppressed of the devil. He sees that Satan needs dealing with. And he promises and has already conquered Satan through the cross, disarming every power and principality. But he has given us authority over all the power of the devil. And we can take authority in his name. Anything you ask in my name, Jesus said, I'm going to do it. What is it you want? Esther, God's saying to us as his children, what is it you want? Anything you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified and people will receive the goodness of God. Wonderful. Now back to the story, and I'm not going to kind of go into the details, but there's a few things I want to pick out about God's unseen hand at work. The prayers have meant that God's going about doing good, and there's all kinds of situations opening up. When we pray, it's like behind the curtain, with things we can't see with our natural eyes, in that person's life, even though you're not with them. God is working. In every situation, in every home that we pray for, and while we're praying for you, we are so praying for all of you that there is a work of God going on. And I know you're praying too for your neighbors, for those around you who are suffering and in great distress. You're praying and God's hand is at work. And in the book of Esther, we're going to just read from Esther 6 in a minute. But I just want to tell you how Esther answered this request, you know, this anything you ask. She said to the king, and I actually believe this is one of the things God does when we pray, is we get ideas from God as to what to do in any given situation. So at work or at home or in a relationship, you get a creative idea, or if you need to repurpose your business and find a new avenue of income, God will give you a creative idea. When you pray, you'll have a creative idea what to do, when to do it. And Esther said, the idea was this. It's quite simple. King, if it pleases you, I want to give you a banquet. I want us to have a feast together. But I don't just want you there. I want Haman, her enemy, the adversary. I want Haman, the one who is out to kill her and all her people. An astounding plot. But she has this idea, And he was the prime minister of the day. He was a great influence. And he's the one who persuaded the king to write the law to destroy the Jews. And he's an evil man. And so Haman hears about this. And he is so blessed with himself. He pops home to tell his wife and family, and he invites all his friends. I love this. It's just hilarious. It's just how Satan works. He works through pride. He always works through self-exaltation. He always works through those who want to promote themselves and show off. And he says he throws a party for himself. And he says, guys, do you know how great I am? I'm up there. There's no one greater than me in the kingdom except the king. And so while he's telling everybody this, he said, but I do have a problem. While I was coming home, because I'm going to this feast with the king and the queen tomorrow, but while I was coming home, Mordecai, that Jew, he's at the gate, and he's wearing these awful rags, sackcloth and ashes, because he's fasting and praying. I don't know what he's up to, but he refused to bow to me. Me, the most important man in the nation, in the kingdom, he didn't bow. He stood upright and just watched me walk by. And he said, I can't really celebrate because, do you know, people who've got a problem in their hearts can never really celebrate. If they've got hate in their heart or unforgiveness or a resentment on the inside, they can never really feast. It just nickels away at them like a spirit of offense. And his wife, I think her name was Cruella de Vil. She was as evil as he was. And his wife comes up with this plan and says, right, why don't you build a gallows so that you kill him? You go into the king tomorrow and say, I need to hang Haman. I need to hang Mordecai because Mordecai has insulted me and therefore insulted you. So Haman decided, this is a great plucked wife. You're just like me. You hate what God loves too. So these terrible two get together. It's often, isn't it, where evil people are, they seem to kind of attract one another. They get together to discuss evil plans and plots and, all these things are going on. Okay. But I want to show you something from the Word, that God is at work and he's got the upper hand at all times. Because in verse 1 of chapter 6, we're going to read this. While Haman is building the gallows, that night, the king couldn't sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had basically saved the king's life, and because there'd been a plot against him, and Mordecai had never been rewarded for this. So this was discovered. Now, I think this is the providence of God. This is God at work. Somebody can't sleep. Insomnia. I don't know if you've ever read this, but it's like God woke this guy up, gave him a sleepless night. Because God knew that he needed to be working because he knew what Haman had done. He always knew what Haman would do, but he was already in front of Haman because nothing Satan does outwits God. And so while the books are being read, let me tell you, he isn't counting sheep. For me, it would actually make me fall asleep if the history books were read. Hey, the king's having history books read. So I'm like, you might count sheep, but he says, bring on the history. Give me a history read. And get somebody to read these books. And he hears the very story that he needed to hear. That's God. It's God that he can't sleep, and it's God that he gets to hear about Mordecai. And he says, nothing's been done. Now, this was 5 years before or so when Mordecai had saved his life, and he was still not rewarded or honored for it. Now, I have a word from Scripture that says that our God does not forget your labor of love that you do in his name, do for him. And he will reward you in due season. How you minister to the saints and do minister. What you do for God's people. He doesn't forget it, even from 5 years ago. Because you will reap what you sow. So whatever good you do in Jesus' name, you're going to reap a reward. Amen. So the king kind of, I don't know, he probably didn't even get up because he hadn't slept all night. Haman comes in, and this is for the feast. And the king says, Haman, what would you do to reward someone who'd saved your life? And Haman thinks, why? It must be me. It's got to be me. I'm definitely the one who the king wants to reward, because proud people always think it's about them. And so he's there and he says, well, I'd get the king's robe and I'd put him on him. And I'd get the king's horse and I'd put him on that. And then I would parade him through the streets just to show how great that person is. Brilliant, says the king. Go and get Mordecai. And do you know what the funny thing is? Guess who led Mordecai through the streets? Yeah. Haman. Talk about God bringing down the proud and exalting the humble. Everything gets right. Everything comes right in the end, guys. God sorts it all out. And God raised Mordecai and put him into this position of favor and reward. Anyway, Haman went home. Sorry, it's a story. I hope you don't mind me just telling the story because it's meaningful for us today. Haman went home and he was not happy. He was depressed. And Cruella, his wife, says back to him, because nothing good can come out of her mouth, because out of a bitter root, it just keeps coming, poison. So she just says to him, you're dead, mate. You're going to die. This isn't good for you. She doesn't have any encouragement because it can't come. So Haman was depressed before he went home, and he was worse after he went home. Anyway, the next day he comes back, and I love this. There was another feast, brought into another feast. So the king has sorted, by God's unseen hand, Mordecai. He has humbled Haman. The Lord has humbled Haman. And now they come in for the second feast. There were two feasts. And it says in chapter 7, what is your petition, Queen Esther? He says again, anything you ask, up to half of the kingdom. What do you want me to do? And I love this. He must have, his anticipation must have been growing. All these feasts. What is it she wants? Why is she taking so long to ask? But God, you know, there was things being prepared. You could see how God was sorting Haman. And this plot was going to be stopped that Haman had against the people of God. So Esther answered and said, if I've found favor and if it pleases the king, we've basically been handed over to be destroyed. And an enemy against me and my people. So basically she was asking him to intervene in this event that was happening in that nation, that the Jews were being destroyed. Can I just say how God can intervene in this event that is destroying people's lives in our nation? Our God is so much bigger than Satan and this virus. Satan is using this virus, but God is going to turn it for good. He will turn it for good. So Esther exposes Haman's plot. And the king, she says, because the king asked, who is it? She went, him. And she'd invited him for the exposure. So there he was, right there. It's him, Haman. So the king, so mad, went out into the garden. And Haman decided, he went pale. He had to plead for his life. And he was on the queen's couch. And the king came back in and he said, "Will you also do this with my queen?" And he basically, there was a guy there at that moment who was probably standing guard of the king. And he said, "I did hear Haman had built a gallows for Mordecai. You could hang him on that." So Haman was hung on the very gallows that he'd erected for people, for Mordecai. And you know, the pit the enemy dug for us, he will fall in himself. That is a scripture. Read it in the Psalms. And even on the cross, Satan thought he'd won. He thought he would crucify the Lord of glory. He thought our work through the religious people, through the hate and the injustice, and I will destroy Jesus Christ. But you know, the very thing that he erected, the system of hate to oppose God, was the very thing that God used to save us. The cross is the victory. Everything Jesus did, he destroyed the enemy in it and triumphed over Satan and all his powers. And he now has the keys of death and hell. Our God has won a great victory. Just as we see in the life of Esther and Mordecai, Satan's plan was defeated. The praying people, the willing people who were in position for this time, using whatever they could do for the king, they saw a tremendous victory. And I want to say to you today, your prayers are working. What you have done years ago, you will see a reward in his name. Whatever you do for the Lord, you will see reward. And whatever you do in his name, there will be a time where he will raise and position you and bring about the blessing that you wondered where it was. But God is going to do it in this time, for such a time as this. I have been praying for quite a few months about this issue with the virus, and I'm going to just close now. And I've been praying that just as Haman turned, and you know, the instrument he'd used to try and destroy others would turn against him and it would seek to destroy him, that this virus will start to destroy itself. That there will be a change. But I just know that our prayers are powerful, guys. That we've been brought into the kingdom. That we can come before the throne of grace. That we can ask the King of Kings. And he gives us this blank check. What is it you want me to do? Have a goal in prayer for the nation in this time. That this virus will be destroyed. Have a goal that our God will intervene on frontline workers and businesses, and have a goal to see salvation, which ultimately is the goal of God in this generation. That people will be saved. In your prayer for the people who are around you for such a time as this, you have a niche role. You actually are a key player in God's plan. Can I say that again? You're a key player in God's plan. And you have found grace in his sight. Anything you ask in my name, when you look in the mirror, that man, that woman, that child, God is saying to you, "I've called you for such a time as this to rescue people out of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. I have called you to see a defeat of Satan and a victory personally and for the nation." Parents, children, there's grace. First receive it in prayer. First receive out of his fullness, and God will use you to change things. And the plot the enemy has tried to put into operation God's causing insomnia. He's causing things to happen, knowledge and understanding. He's raising people, positioning people. You are right where you are for such a time as this. What a wonderful story. And I believe this patterns our day. We are in need of great deliverance, but we have a great High King of Heaven. And He has said, come to me, receive my favor, receive the answers in prayer first, and then go out and influence everything for my name's sake. Church, you're important. Individuals, families, children, every single life is important. Let's pray and ask in His name. You're only limited by Him and His will, not by who you are, but by He is. Beloved, be encouraged and see. God's at work, and like in the days of Esther, for such a time as this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today to see your hand at work through the book of Esther is like imagining what that could look like in our worlds. Give us creative plans as we pray and fast in this time. Give us ideas that actually bring about answers for situations. Give us the grace we need in whatever role we're in, whatever place we live, whatever situation. Father, you know what we're in. But thank you that we can come and you extend that reign of grace, that scepter of grace for such a time as this. Thank you, you're so generous to say anything you ask in my name, I will do it. And Lord, we know that whatever the enemy is planning, as we pray, you are working. And there are things happening behind the scenes for such a time as this. I want to thank you for people being healed for such a time as this. I thank you for a great deliverance for families for such a time as this. I thank you, Lord, for new ideas for businesses for such a time as this. Thank you for our children prospering and doing really well with their studies for such a time as this. Thank you for the grace on the parents. Thank you, Lord, for individuals, Lord, who are on their own. They are in a position. You've set them up for this amazing purpose for such a time as this. Lord, let every single one of us believe that we are key players in your plan to see the deliverance of many in this time. Amen. All God's people said, amen. God bless you for such a time as this. Go out and serve the Lord in whatever way you can. We'll see you again. And don't forget, we've got a little faith booster for your prayer. We'll send it out probably on Wednesday again to the church. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.